ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नाम श्रेष्ठं मनमपि शचीपुत्रमत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्याग्रजमुरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथिता कृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः पदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनतन्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्विताश्च The next name given in Sri Vishnu Sahasranama is Putatma. Puta means pure or purified, and Atma means the self. So Krishna is the pure self or the pure being. This name follows after a series of names in the first verse, which connect or demonstrate Krishna's functions as the material world, within the material world. These are the functions which are first described according to Shakha Chandra Nyaya. That we are in this material world. We cannot conceive of anything beyond this material world, but we are being introduced to the subject matter of Vishnu, who is in the material world, but not in the material world, and aloof from the material world. He is an entity who is qualitatively different from any entity of this world, but our experience and our mental functions do not go beyond the material. Therefore, too, first of all, the names are given that introduce us to this entity, means this supreme living entity, who is in relation to the material world, though he has no direct relation to the material world, by Shakha Chandranya. It means pointing out, first of all, something which is familiar to us, and easily understandable to us, and then afterwards pointing out something which can be seen in relation to that which is familiar and understandable by us, which is beyond, far beyond our understanding. Just like a child being shown, you see the branch of the tree, and then you see, the mother says to the child, you see the branch of the tree, and you see that round ball just above the tree, that's the moon. So, in this way, the child may be introduced to the subject of the moon. So, Krishna has been described, the name also, Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu, that means the master in three phases of time. That means within the material world, because the three phases of time, they don't exist in the spiritual world. The time does not have the function of bringing into being or destroying. Time is only nourishing. The dimension within which Leela is takes place. So this material world is contaminated. The nature of this mature world is contaminated. It is in existence for those who would be different from Krishna, who would be separate, would like to be separate from Krishna, which is itself an impure desire. So this whole mature world is created. Why? We have so many names of Krishna being given. He's the creator of he's the world, he's the creator of the living beings, which means he brings them into this material world. So this material world by nature is impure, and Krishna enters within the world, but he's Putatma, he's always pure. That he has relationship with this world doesn't mean that he is contaminated. He always remains aloof. He's always pure. And that is another symptom or characteristic of him being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though he enters within material nature, apparently he's seen to be acting as if he's a manifestation of the material nature, but he is always of a different category. Etad ishanam ishasya prakriti stopi tadgunai na yujyate sadatmastaya. So that describes him. And the last line describes his devotees. Yatabhutis tadashrayam. So Krishna has described that this is the quality by which he is known as the controller. Etad ishanam ishasya. This is what is the quality by which he is the controller? That prakriti staha, he's situated within material nature. But but tadgunai, the qualities of material nature, na yujyate, he's not linked with that. He is sadatmastha. He's always situated in his own nature. And the same applies, yata buddhis tadashray, applies to his devotees also. Hindi translation? And let me give a Hindi translation. Oh, all right. It will go on. So Krishna is always pure. Putatma, this name, as is suggested by the verse of Bhagavatam, which I just quoted, this name Putatma can also apply to the devotee of Krishna. The Atma by quality, either the Jivatma or the Paramatma, which is the next name, either the Supreme Lord or the individual Jiva, by nature is pure. But Krishna, he does not have the tendency to become impure. Actually, the Atma, the Jiva, also doesn't have the tendency to be impure. It's not possible to be for the Jiva. Asango hi ayang purusha, that's quoted, that this living being is always not related with the modes of material nature. It's a great mystery, the whole question of the fall down of the jiva. What's the solution? He doesn't fall. It's all an illusion. Some people say it's Mayavad to say like that, but actually it's a fact. This whole material existence, It's not factual. It seems to be, but it's not. It's like a dream. A dream is also real. Is it real or is it not real? So like this. So that's called surreal, an appearance of realism. Svapnavat. The word is there in Sanskrit, like a dream. So the jiva is also pure, but has the tendency to become as if impure. As he becomes in contact with the material nature, appears to come in contact with the material nature. But Krishna never comes in contact with material nature. Even though its material nature is dependent upon him, and he manifests the material nature, but he's never in contact. One of his names is Maheshwara. He's the lord of Maya. He's not under the control of Maya. And this is a very difficult subject for people in Maya to understand. Either theoretically, as a philosophical principle, or in practice, when we see that, for instance, when Shalva brings the head of Vasudev before Krishna and said, I chopped off your father's head, and Krishna laments that my father has been killed. So it looks like Krishna's in Maya. There are so many examples. I mean, the very fact that he's attracted to young women, that's the height of Maya, isn't it? Of course, these young women, they are this Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitavis Tabhira Eva Nijarupataya Kalabihi. They are Krishna's internal shakti, or the gopis, or the queens of Dwarka, who exist for the pleasure of Krishna. They are his swarup shakti. They're not manifested by the bahiranga shakti, which the meaning of the bahiranga shakti is it's outside, it's away from Krishna. It takes us away from Krishna. But Krishna's internal potencies, they're always with Krishna. So Krishna is attracted, but that is not contaminated. Now, what does it mean to be pure? There is measurable purity and subjective purity. Measurable purity means water you can measure. You can make a chemical analysis. And if there's, even that's subjective to some extent, because if there's a little, water is considered pure from the dietic point of view. What's the word, fancy word for diet? It's potable. It's better to drinking if it has some minerals in it. If it has a little sodium, potassium, calcium, chloride, if it has a little, that's better. It gives a nice taste also. From the chemical point of view, it's completely pure if it's distilled and there's nothing. There's no chemical compound in it. If there's a lot of salt in it, then it may be considered impure. And if there are heavy traces of heavy metals, like lead or zinc, then it's considered impure. Or flecks of carbon. Or gold is considered pure. Anyway, there's a standard by which water can be measured to be considered pure. Gold is considered pure if it's not mixed with any other metal or silver or any copper, pure copper, no admixture. But what does it mean to be pure in character? Someone has a pure character. This kind of thinking doesn't occur to the modern man at all. Someone is of pure character. Maybe in India a little bit, but in the West, if you speak of... I don't think I ever heard it before I came to ISKCON. Even the concept of having a pure character, because there's... first of all, there's the idea of morality and values. They're all arbitrary, according to the individually defined. Plus, there's no such idea of there's anything pure. Pure in character? It's just no such idea. But without such a concept, we can understand that human society is degraded to the animal level. Could you please sit a little to the side so you don't show your back to Krishna? So, pure in character, well, what does that mean? The first should be Advaishta Sarva Bhutanam, with no malice toward anyone. This is the first quality Krishna describes of the devotee who is dear to him. It's the first quality he describes in Bhagavad Gita. This is described as a saintly quality. Now, if you think about it, why should anyone have any bad feeling toward anyone else? Yeah, envy. Just envy. There's actually maitra. One should have good feelings toward everyone. But in the material world, the general tendency is just to be envious of everyone. Because everyone wants to make themselves the center. You told me yesterday, what's that called? Big Brother? What's that, an American TV program? When they put people in a house together, they're not allowed to go outside. And then they just see how they act enviously toward each other. It's just presumed that they'll act enviously towards each other and get on each other's nerves and call each other's bad names and shout at each other. It's in India also. It's an American program, but they show it in India, or they copy it and do it in Hindi. They do it in Hindi also? Really? I'm ignorant. I'm reality show, you see. I'm it's not acting, and they're really and generally they quarrel, is it? That's expected. And they just have it on TV. They have TV. They're having sex and everything. AC/DC, the whole thing. Oh.
People are just waiting. Something should happen today. At least some quarrel, something.
I never heard of this. No. How long has this been going on? For a few.
I just heard now in Europe, 3-4 months ago.
I see. So it's just expected that when people come together, they'll be nasty to each other. Why should that be?
To survive, for sure, the best person to survive all the tests and manage.
That means who's the nastiest and can put the others down and control them, psychologically control them, or physically, by strength, control them. Ugh. Who's Big Brother? You don't know. I see. Oh, just insane. The whole idea. You can just see how insane people are, even to imagine such a TV program or to want to watch it. Just. I heard of reality TV shows before, but I didn't know what it was. Now I have some idea. It's not reality. Reality is Krishna. So just see in this material world how people are so. What I was getting about, the subjective idea of purity. What does purity mean? Well, maybe religious people have some idea of purity of character. I just remember, just came to my mind now, reading in Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, he made a small book of his essays, which appeared in Back to Godhead. And in one of them, I remember, it just struck me how he was recalling in his childhood how he used to go to church, and the young girls would be there, and they seemed sexy and pure at the same time. I guess that's only possible in America. Or is it everywhere? I don't know. But there's some idea there in the Christian position. Pure, yeah. Good character. Good character. Not, maybe not pure character, but good character. Good character means you're a good American and you go to church and you don't tell lies and, you know, good American. And, you know, you eat meat. They have no idea. No idea. I had no idea till I came to Prabhupada's lotus feet that meat eating was wrong. No idea. No one tells me. No, just everyone does it. I'd stopped eating meat before I came, but I didn't think it was wrong. It's just I didn't want to do it, that's all. But that there's something wrong with it. That there's anything wrong in... Well, drinking too much alcohol is not good. But a little bit, that's all right. I mean, they do it in the church, right? In the just like we have the arati here. They have the Mass, and an important part of the Mass, you're all from Catholic countries, is to, the priest has to drink, only he drinks wine. Everyone watches him drinking wine, which symbolizes the blood of Jesus. It's supposed to purify you or what? So there may be some vague idea of purity. So according to them, you can be pure and also drink wine if you don't drink too much. And you don't cheat people, don't tell lies. So I guess there's some idea of purity. But it's the point I'm making here is that according to human calculation, what pure means could be considered subjective. So what is the standard of purity? Just like the standard of pure gold, 24 carat. Yeah, that's the standard. The standard of purity is what? That you're kind to others, you don't tell lies. No, the standard of purity is Krishna. And he does tell lies. And he does dance with other people's wives. And he does induce things like Arjuna killing Karna. So he may say, well, how can you say Krishna is pure when he does all these things? The answer is because he's Krishna. And he can do whatever he likes. And that is pure. There's not only is Krishna pure, but he is characteristically, like Prabhupada gave the example of stainless steel. It can't rust, although in India it does. But you know, India's a land of mysticism, so all kinds of things that don't happen in other places, they happen here. So, but it's like uncontaminatable. There's no question of contamination of Krishna because he is the standard. And another point is that things that Krishna does, which would otherwise render people impure, they do not render Krishna impure. So he is fully pure in all respects, nor does he do anything to become pure. You can't say that Krishna is purified. If you say that Krishna is purified, that means at one point he was impure and now he's become pure. But he's always pure. These rascal Brahma Kumaris, they have the idea that Krishna, last time he came, Jains also, they have the idea last time Krishna came he was quite good, but then as he got older he in the beginning he was okay, but then he submitted, what's the word? He fell down and he made some mistakes. But next time when he comes, he'll be fully perfect. He succumbed to temptation. But there's no question. He is in all phases of time the master. So he sets the standard, just like a dictator What is the law? Whatever he wants. That's all. And even if he does something which for others would be illegal or wrong, you can't argue with him. If you want to keep your head on your shoulders. There's a story. What is that? That the Shah of Iran, sometime back, of course it would be sometime back because there's no Shah of Iran now, but he came to France and he saw the invention of Monsieur Guillotine, the expert device for quickly and efficiently killing people. You know what that is, a guillotine? You know, but it's a big, heavy metal block which is very sharp at the side at an angle, and it's held up by some rope, and someone puts their head underneath, you let the rope go and comes down and chops off their head. Quick and very efficient. So the Shah of Iran came and he was shown this. You see, it's like one of France's great inventions. That was a modern, you see, like a new thing at the time. So he said, oh, that's very interesting. So, you know, why don't you do it? So I can see how it works. Put someone underneath. They said, well, you know, we don't have anyone to punish. Well, just, you know, take someone, kill them. He said, well, we can't do it. You know, we just can't take someone. There's laws. You just can't kill someone. He said, well, you know, I'm the Shah of Iran and I'm your guest. And why don't you just, you know, just take some? And we can't do it. He said, well, I'll give one of my men then. He said, no, we can't do that either. And he said, you don't know what a king is. I'm the king, you know, whatever I want. He said, I want to kill someone, and just kill him, that's all. Just for fun, to see what it's like. That is a king. There's no right or wrong. Of course, the French government had an idea what was right and what is wrong. That what is right and what is wrong, there is a metaphysical principle which is independent of any human being. But as far as the Shah of Iran was concerned, he's as good as God. He can do whatever he likes. An actual God is. That's one of the meanings of independent. You're still back at explaining what the guillotine is. You've got a lot of stuff to remember. So, Krishna is actually that person who has absolute power and can do whatever he likes. And the good news is, he's a good guy. He actually likes us. So he's not like the God imagined by certain tribes people in the desert in Palestine, who throws you into hell forever. If you don't do what he says, he's like some spoiled child. If you don't do what he says, then he throws you in hell forever with no chance of redemption whatsoever. Forever. You know, it's like throw you in hell, lock the door and throw the key away in the ocean. So, no chance of redemption because God loves you so much. So, the good news is that God is actually kind. And his actions, they're pure in another way. Not that his actions are whimsical. Just like his telling Arjuna to kill Karna in a situation which seemed to be wrong. But Krishna did that for the better good of the world. But whatever Krishna does is for the... It may seem that it's just whimsical or for his own fancy. But actually whatever he does is for the good of the world also. Although people who try to understand what is right and wrong, what is pure and impure, according to their own understanding, again, they can't understand Krishna. Or building on this, that Putatma, he's pure, means that he's not like anyone else, although he's in this world, what does it mean that he's not connected with Prakriti? Nayujyate. He's not. It means anyone in this world, whatever they do, there are reactions. Either you get good reactions or bad reactions. But Krishna, namam karmani limpanti. Krishna, he's not subject to actions or reactions. Just like these, the Jains, they say that Krishna was the cause of killing so many people. Now he's in hell. Yes, what a rascal idea. And later he'll come out and he'll become a Tirthankar. One of their supposed leaders. So you see, these philosophies are actually very demoniac. The most demoniac philosophies come from where? From India. Because they have to deal with Krishna. So you can't be that demoniac. The most demoniac people, who's most demoniac? Hitler, Stalin, flies. Kamsa is much worse because he was directly envious of Krishna. So people invent all kinds of philosophies, but if you have to deal with Krishna and you're envious of him and you're trying to make a philosophy, you have to explain him in some way or other, which is not correct. You have to re-explain it. So Mayavadi Krishna Aparadi. The real Mayavadis are those who are, they don't just have some vague impersonal idea, but they have to fit philosophy, Krishna into their philosophy. Instead of trying to understand the truth as it is, they make up some philosophy and they try to fit Krishna in, but Krishna doesn't fit in to any man-made philosophy. So you have to squeeze him in by some envious conjecture, and you end up being extremely envious. So that's what happens with Mayavadis and Jains and Buddhists, but they just ignore Krishna, whatever. But Krishna, there's no action or there's no reaction to whatever he does, either pious or impious. Krishna didn't become pious by speaking Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says anyone who recites this, or the Adhyeshtate Chayayamam, what is that verse? He says, after speaking Bhagavad Gita, he says, whoever studies this, they go to the pious planets. But Krishna didn't become pious by speaking Bhagavad Gita. But other people become pious because he spoke Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna is always pure and he can never become impure. Another meaning of pure, there's like ritual purity. Just like something is impure, you can clean it with cow dung. You can purify it with cow dung. Or with Ganga water. These are purifying agents. What is that? Pavanam pavanam asmi. Among purifiers, of purifiers I am the wind. So the wind purifies. But purifying agents, they can also become impure. Just like the wind is purifying, but if there's some poisonous gas, as all Gujaratis know, the land of poisonous gas, like Narendra Modi is like Kalia, he's making poisonous gas all over Gujarat. Whoops, delete that. might get thrown out of India. So the wind can become impure. Or even cow dung, if it's mixed with wine, then you wouldn't want to sprinkle that to purify. Or Ganga water actually cannot become impure, but at the same time, you wouldn't, like when it's mixed up with stool and this and that, you don't want to drink too much of it. There's people, these demons, they put the sewage in the Ganga. The Yamuna, you see, must be the world's, I think it's the Yamuna at Delhi is the world's most polluted river. So the Yamuna is not impure, but that water from the point of view, I mean, you shouldn't drink it. So Krishna, he never becomes impure in any way or any sense. Now, it is possible to nama parada, offense against, or we say offensive chanting. So it is possible to chant the name of Krishna, which is always pure. Nama chintamani Krishna, chaitanya rasa vigraha, purna shuddha, nitya mukta, abhinnadvant, nama namino ho. So the name of Krishna is always pure, but and Krishna is always pure, but people, according to their conception, that may be impure. Well, Krishna is always pure. Now, that doesn't mean that Krishna becomes impure. Or another example, the name of Krishna is always pure, but we should not hear from non-devotees. We should not hear Harikatha from non-devotees. It becomes like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. Milk is pure, but it becomes poisonous. How can Krishna become poisonous? How can Krishna be contaminated by the utterance of topics about him by non-devotees? How is that possible? Well, Krishna doesn't become impure, but the concept that the non-devotee conveys is not Krishna. They say the name Krishna, but in their mind they have something else. They have ascribed, in their mind they have falsely ascribed qualities to Krishna that he does not possess. They presume Krishna to, they have all wrong ideas about Krishna. So when they say Krishna, they don't mean that, they do not convey the understanding of Krishna that Rupa Goswami does. They don't convey the understanding of Krishna that Vyasadeva does. They convey the understanding in their own contaminated mind. So that actually when they say Krishna, Krishna is not pleased to be present. Krishna, the sound of Krishna, Krishna, these two syllables, they are not syllables of this material world. And anyone can say, just like the syllable Krish comes in, Krishi, Krishak, Na, it comes also in Trishna, Krishna, Trishna. So Trishna is a material world. Krishi is a material word. You could say that the Krishak, the name of the wife of the Krishak is Trishna. So by that would also come as a name of Krishna, by Vyavadhan, there's a separation. This Krish syllable came, and a few syllables later, Na syllable came. So it becomes, actually that's Trishna, isn't it, the wife's name. Anyway, so Krishna says Krishna plus A. Krishna. You don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so that's also the name of Krishna, although that's one kind of this, what's that called? Namabhas. So, people with an offensive attitude, they say, Krishna, he doesn't manifest. He doesn't have to appear there. It's just like people think, I will go to Loy Bazaar in Vrindavan and buy the deity. So I got Radha Krishna, very cheap, only 2,000 rupees. But you can't buy Radha and Krishna for 2,000 rupees or for 2,000 crores. You can't buy Radha and Krishna. So like that, you think, Krishna, talking about your pet dog or something. But Krishna, he manifests, where does Krishna manifest? In the heart of his devotees. He is the heart of his devotees. He doesn't manifest in the heart of non-devotees or people who are envious of him. So, Nama Para, we say that's the impure chanting. The name is not impure, but that name uttered by envious people is not actually the name of Krishna. We say, well, these Mayavadis, you see, they're chanting the name of Krishna. That's good, isn't it? But Ashadu Sange Bhai Krishna Nam Nahi Hoy Bahire Nama Bhate Tabu Nam Kabu Nahi Hoy. It may seem that people are chanting the name of Krishna, but unless they're in the association of devotees, then it's externally it seems like the name, but actually not the name of Krishna. So Krishna, he cannot be captured by the demons and put in the prison, the torture chamber. They have the prison of their mind, which is full of all nasty things they want to do to Krishna. They want to convert him into some impersonal manifestation which has manifested. They want to say, oh, you see, Krishna was a great philosopher, as if that's some praise of him. Just like I saw one Gauriya Math Guru was speaking about another Gauriya Math Guru. And he said, yeah, I have all respect for him. He's a great scholar. And he praised him as a great scholar, not as a devotee. He was like indirectly insulting him or pointing out he's not a proper devotee. I have all respect for him. I've known him for many years. He's a very great scholar. But he didn't say he's a devotee. Oh, he's a good devotee. So the Mayavadis, I'll tell you privately who that is later. So the Mayavadi, they'll say, you see, well, Krishna's a very great philosopher. And he may even say he's the supreme person. They say, but all the persons are simply manifest. Any person is all Maya because it's all, the actual reality is Brahma Satyam Jagan Nitya. So he's also in Maya, but he's very elevated. Krishna is very elevated. So these are all insults, and they want to capture Krishna and put him in the dungeon of their insulting mind. But Krishna, he doesn't have to go. Even Durga, Kamsa thought he'd caught Durga. He picked up the child, threw her down as if just another child for him to kill. But she went up in the air. You can't even capture Durga, what to speak of Krishna. So Krishna, he is always aloof from the impure blabbering of these Mayavadis and non-devotees and demons. They may say in the name of Krishna, and they're all impure. Their ideas are all contaminated. But you may say, well, Krishna's wherever there's Krishna's name, there's Krishna, so Krishna's there. So Krishna's in impure situation, but he's not. He's always independent. He's captured by the love of his devotees. He's not subject. He's always aloof and independent from the Mayavadis. That's why we don't. This Shankara commentary. You read this, your whole bhakti will be finished. Sounds like he's praising. The Purusha only assumes a relation with the gunas of Prakriti. but his essential nature is not affected by it, as if he's got an essential nature and an external nature. The inside Krishna and the outside Krishna. It's all... So, oh, he's praised Krishna very nicely. Like this poet from Bengal. Jagannath and Chaitanya is the body of Jagannath. He's the soul and the Jagannath. Chaitanya is the soul and Jagannath is the body. So everyone thought, oh, very nice. And Srupdamana said, what? What are you talking about? Dehi, deho, what is that? Deha, dehi, vibhedo, yang, what is that? Neshwari, kvachit. Kadachin, ne. I forgot it exactly. Deho, dehi, vibhago, yam, neshwari, vidyate, kvachit. There's never a, in the Supreme Lord, there's never any differentiation between his body and his soul, as if there's something different. So, what else? Even, I didn't even touch on these things. What else? Yeah, all right. What else have they got to say? Yeah, he's Putatma. He stands above everything. He's not... He's in the world, but not of it. He's not subject to all the... He's in it, but always above it. He's constitutionally of a different nature to that of this material world. So we should not think that when Krishna comes to this world, he's affected by... This is essential to understand. That's why we should understand the teachings of Bhagavad Gita very carefully and be guided in understanding Srimad Bhagavatam and not go directly to Krishna's pastimes without understanding... Because otherwise, we're certain to misunderstand. It seems like Krishna is a living being of this world. But we have to, unless we understand these points very clearly, Krishna is always aloof. He's not part of this world. He appears within it by his mercy. He's not affected by it. Unless we understand these points very carefully, we're certain to misunderstand instead of being purified by hearing Krishna Leela, we'll become worse. We'll come up with theories like Krishna is impure. You see, it's quite clear, isn't it? Why are these people worshipping Krishna when he's impure? But they misunderstand. So all this we should understand first. Hare Krishna. That's 10 names. Putatma, the pure self. So, finish that. Any question about this? Putatma, it rhymes with Bhutatma, one of the names just said. But it has a different meaning. Bhutatma, it's completely, I mean, the way that the word is understood. It's the he is the Atma of the Bhutas, and Putatma doesn't mean that he's... Well, there's another meaning. He's the Atma of those who are pure. That could also be said. Those who are pure, he just like he's the life or the what gives them life or the very...
What makes them pure?
Yeah, what makes them pure is Krishna. And those who are pure, they are pure because they're in relation with Krishna. And those who are pure, the life of their life is Krishna. And therefore they're pure. Anyone who... the life of their life is Krishna, is pure. So the gopis, the queens of Krishna, the queen, they may just seem like ordinary women who are attracted, but because they're attracted to Krishna, they're all pure. Tejiya Sangna Doshaya, who is very powerful, no fault can be ascribed to them. So this is, Shukadev said this to Parikshit Maharaj in his reply to Parikshit's doubt, which he was expressing the doubt for the sake of others, that how is Krishna, who came to this world to establish dharma, apparently performing adharma by dancing with others' wives? So for one who is very powerful, there can be no fault. Yeah, anything else? From Krishna's perspective, there's no question of pure or impure. He just does what he does. It's only from the jivas who are separated from him that the question of impurity even arises. What is that impurity? That impurity means kaam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsur, sarya, all the undesirable qualities which manifest when one does not desire to purely serve Krishna. It means to serve Krishna without any other desire. So we may see in Krishna and his devotees lust, anger, greed, etc. But these, when expressed by Krishna or in relationship to Krishna, that is pure. It doesn't cause degradation. It doesn't cause repeated birth and death. It doesn't cause desires for the harm of others. So impurity means, it is manifested. Impurity means to have any desire other than that to serve Krishna, and manifests as lust, greed, anger, etc. So people who try to become pure, they try to become free of these desires. But one who simply tries to serve Krishna, then automatically they become pure without having to, just by the very fact of serving Krishna without any desire other than to please Krishna, then they automatically become free from mundane lust, greed, etc. Now, some people accuse Krishna that he's also impure, and they point to his apparent lust and so on. But simply by chanting the name of Krishna, one can become purified. So what is the question of Krishna being impure? By any relationship with Krishna, one becomes purified, although that has to be an actual relationship. Now, if one is envious of Krishna and in thinking of Krishna like Kamsa or the Mayavadis, then they do not become purified. But an actual relationship with Krishna, one becomes purified by that. Which just goes to show that Krishna is all pure. He's all purifying. So there's no question of him being impure. So, Hare Krishna. We'll finish there now.